And we're holding on page 50 in Yevamos, Ois Nunches. We learned a bit last time about the whole issue that's talking about in these last couple of blocks about a person drowned and a person drowned, and you have different types of water bodies where if we find the body, if we don't find the body, what do we consider there might be a case where we don't find the body and he might have actually gotten out alive, etc. The Mishnah mentioned actually a case where somebody fell into Bor HaGadol, into a large water cistern, a water pit, and he survived there for 3 days. How is that possible? One thing Mefoshim point out is there might have been like an underwater crevice or something above the water level that he managed to get into. In any case, so now the Gemara brings a story in that connection with somebody falling into a Bor HaGadol and what happened. We learned the story with some variations also in Yerushalmi Shkolim a month or two ago. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Maisa B'bitei Shon Nechunya Choyfer Shichin. It happened once with the daughter of Nechunya Choyfer Shichin. Now we learned in Yerushalmi Shkolim that this Nechunya was one of the officials of the Beis Mikdash. His official job was to dig water pits and water cisterns and things like that so that the Oile Regel would have a water supply. The Gemara mentions over there, the Yerushalmi mentions over there that he was an expert geologist. He knew what kind of rocks to dig in and where to find what kind of water. So that was his official job. We learned over there that there were many Nechunyas throughout the generations. Why the Nechunya is either the name of the one at the who was serving in office when the Mishnah was composed, or the kosher one of that, the most kosher one who held that position. Whatever the case, so this Nechunya Choyfer Shichin, she fell into a big pit, one of these pits that her father had dug to provide water for the Oile Regel. They came and informed Rav Chanina ben Dosa, who was the Tzaddik Adur, that she fell in and to daven for her. When we learned it in the Yerushalmi, actually, we learned a slightly different version of it, that it was Chosid Echad. We had a story over there involving Nechunya Choyfer Shichin, but then there was a different thing involving Chosid Echad, and the Tzaddik they went to was Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer, who lived about 100 years after Rav Chanina ben Dosa. So Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer, yeah, the Gemara presents him as the son-in-law. The Gemara presents him in Shabbos as the son-in-law of Rashbi. The Zohar presents him as the father-in-law of Rashbi. The Ben Yehoyada actually talks about and says that the version in the Zohar is correct, and you have to correct the wording in the Gemara accordingly. But yeah.
Story with his daughter.
What?
His daughter fell down.
Yes, that's what we're saying over here. So in the Yerushalmi, when we learned it, we learned that there was a chosid echad, not Nechunya ben Akana, but another chosid who used to dig water pits for the tzibur to provide them with water in the years after the Churban. And then when his daughter fell into such a pit, then they came and told Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer. Our version and our Gemara over here is that it happened when the Beis Mikdash was still standing, and Nechunya, it was Nechunya Choyfer Shichin, whose job is to dig these pits for the Oile Regel. And that the tzaddik they came and informed is Rav Chanina ben Dosa, who lived in the years before the Churban. Pretty much all the tzaddikim you can find in the Gemara are buried in Sfas at the bottom of the mountain, so that doesn't really tell us much. But yeah, in any case, yeah. But again, all Gemara is attributing the story to Rav Chanina ben Dosa, yeah. The first hour passed, and Shah doesn't necessarily mean an hour, although the post can say that maybe here it does. So after the first hour, Amalahem Shalom, he told them everything's peace, she's still alive in there. Shnia Amalahem Shalom, the second hour, he also told them it's still peace, she's still alive. Shlishis Amalahem Osa, the third hour, and by that time there's no possible way she could have survived in there anymore. Then he tells them she got out safely. Meaning, in other words, basically, until then, you know, it's possible she might still be alive in there, so therefore he doesn't necessarily assume that a ness happened yet. But now, when it comes after 3 hours, there's no way, but Derech HaTeva, she could have survived. Then he says, as he's going to go on to say in the Gemara over here, that he knows for a fact she will have survived, and therefore the only possible way would be that she got out. Now, again, Shah doesn't necessarily mean an hour, literally. We sometimes find where the word Shah just means an interval of time. With that said, since it does mention over here Shois and it mentions 3 hours, then there are poskim on that very long simon in Shulchan Aruch that I was mentioning the other day, simon Yud Zayin in Evan Ezer that deals with all these dinim. There are some of the noisy kalim on Shulchan Aruch there that say that, in fact, if a person falls into water, we do have to wait a minimum of 3 hours before we can declare him dead, even if it's Mayim Sheyesh Lahem Soif. Because conceivably, it might, somehow, there might be an air pocket or something, I don't know. Anyway, so Omalahem, afterwards he asks her, Biti Mihelcha, my daughter, So if it's Reb Chanina Mendoza talking, she's not his daughter. It just means, you know, like you say in Yiddish, tochterol. Mi helcha, who brought you up? She says that I saw there was a ram. Zochar shorachelim means a male of the sheep. So meaning, in other words, a ram nizdamenli came to me. The zokin manahigoy with an old man leading it. So Rashi explains the zokin echad is Avraham and the ram is the ram that was brought as a korban instead of Yitzchak. So that's schus, the schus of Avraham saved the schus of Avraham's savior. Now why is that? What does Avraham have to do with this? So Marsha explains that Avraham davened after the Akedah, Bahar Hashem Yerah, and as Rashi mentioned on the Pasuk, it means as in the schus of this Akedah that I was ready to bring Yitzchak as a korban, that in the schus of that, Hashem should save the Jewish people from troubles in the future. So now there was an actual example of that when Chunya's daughter was in danger, and Hashem saved her in the schus of that. Marsha also refers to that Yerushalmi that we learned in Shkolim that it was actually a malach in the form of Reb Chanina or Reb Pinchas Ben Yair, as we learned over there. In any case, there's a number of other interesting explanations of why it is that Davka she was saved by an apparition of Avraham with the ram. So one interesting point in that is that like this. Bechlal, how is Reb Chanina ben Dosa so certain that she's going to survive? As he goes on to say himself, he's not a Novi, he's not a Ben Novi. So how does he know? So he says, because I said it's not possible that something that the tzaddik worked so hard on that his children should be punished through that. So one explanation is that, so one explanation is, he's not saying for sure, but he's saying, I'm making that argument to Hashem. Not that I'm saying for sure, Hashem could always say no, but I'm going to demand of Hashem that she should be saved in the schus of that. So then there's an interesting idea. When we say tzaddik goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, how is that possible? I mean, ultimately, how does a tzaddik, a nivra, know more than the Eibishter, so to speak? So the answer is, one very interesting, what?
He's going to know more than the Eibishter.
But still, the question is why? Why does Hashem allow that to happen? So there's a very interesting explanation that's brought from the Koziglover Rav. The Koziglover Rav, his name is Rav Aryeh Frommer. He was one of the big goyim in Poland before the war. He's less known nowadays, unfortunately, because he was killed in the Holocaust. But I mentioned the other day Rav Meir Shapiro, who started Daf HaYomi and was one of the great goyim of his times. The Koziglover Rav took over as the head of his yeshiva after the Meir passed away. He also started the concept of Mishnah Yomis. He was one of the big goyim of that period. Anyway, he gives an explanation like this. When Avraham went to do the Akedah, does it make sense, Bechlal? No, the whole thing is L'mai L'mitam V'das. And yet, not only Avraham did it, but Yitzchak is following Avraham also. I don't even understand how such a thing is possible. And he didn't even hear it directly from the Eibishter, and yet they're going and doing it with Mesiras Nefesh, V'yelchu Shneim Yachdav. So therefore, the Eibishter says, you know what, in the course of that then, sometimes it might be, I know better. To the tzaddik, it doesn't make sense. And the tzaddik is asking me to do something which, according to the way that I know, with Tzadas Elyon, it doesn't make sense. But I'm going to do it anyway, because the same way as Avraham and Yitzchak went and did something that doesn't make sense from their point of view. So that would be why she was saved in the schus of Avraham and in the schus of the Akedah, like the Eibishter is willing to say, yeah, according to my way of looking at it, mitzad das elyon, yeah, there's a reason why I decided that she doesn't need to be in the world anymore. But mitzad, I'm willing to allow das tachton, to allow the das of the tzaddik to override that, the same way as Avraham and Yitzchak were willing to allow my das to override theirs. So you open it up for future tzaddikim, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so very beautiful explanation, yeah. Anyway, so another point is also, I think the Aruch HaNer makes a point, because Nechunya, by digging all these water pits, he's making it possible for everybody to be Ola L'Regel. They wouldn't be able to come on Aliyah L'Regel themselves and all their animals and so forth if they don't know that there's a water supply for them. So therefore, he's facilitating everybody coming on Aliyah L'Regel. Well, Avraham is the first one who started that. He says, by the Akedah, Bahar Hashem Yerah, everybody's going to come here in the future three times a year, L'Roi Salah Roi. So she's saved now in the schus of that. Anyway, Omru Loi, so they asked him, V'chi Novi Ata? Are you a Novi that you knew she's going to be saved? Omalahem, he says, Novi anoichi, ben Novi anoichi. I'm not a Novi, I'm not a son of a Novi. Ella, but I realized, Dovershat Tzaddik, Misasik Boy, something with which the Tzaddik is working hard on, Lo Yikosho Boy Zaray, it's not possible that his descendants, that his children should end up stumbling and then being killed through that. So in other words, since he had such a zchus that he's helping, that he's providing water for everybody with these water pits, so how could it be that the Eibishter would allow that his daughter was going to die from such a thing? So again, it can mean that Rav Chanina ben Dosa says, as a factual matter, this is how it is. I know that this is it, the way the Eibishter works thing, and therefore it was a certainty that she's not going to die. Or it could mean that I use that as an argument to the Eibishter to spare her. So the Gemara continues, worth mentioning, by the way, in this connection. So you have Art Scroll started putting out in the last couple of years an edition of Ein Yaakov with an English commentary. This point from the Kozi Glover Rav, for example, was in there. They mention also an interesting thing in this connection, which we as Chassidim practically imbibe this with our mother's milk, but he brings a point over there from the Sefer Pella Yoyetz that says the Eibishter always appreciates when people speak well about Jews, and always you have, even if there are Jews who you would think from Mitzad Das Tachten deserve some kind of punishment, but you speak well of them and you try to be Melamed Zchus on them in front of the Eibishter, he always appreciates that, as we see over here in this story. The Rebbe talked about it any number of times, but sometimes you have people in the wider Jewish world who wonder, is that right? You have choytim, you have complete oisvorf. So whatever, what should we see from the, we see from that example from a sefer outside of Lubavitch, a sefer that's very well accepted in the Jewish world, that makes the same point. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. We Lubavitchers, we practically get that with our mother's milk to begin with, because we grow up on sichas and things from the Rebbe about that, but it needs to be stressed to the wider world as well.
Sheikh is going to smell everybody out. He's going to judge them all innocent.
That's also true, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
It's not because he won the Yetzirah and
Mishtar. Yeah, it's because it's so that's
really the such a thing you've
resulted. So that's the point. That's the point, part of the point that it makes in that quotation from Pella Yoyetz. It's no matter what, you find every possible excuse. Yitzray onsayer. So you have, even nowadays, by the way, you have a number of rabbonim nowadays that have to, in the last couple of generations that have talked about the idea. Like this Bechlal is a concept of Tinoikas Shanishbu, as we know. And there's a concept that some rabbonim have talked about, that even you have somebody who was raised from and unfortunately went off the derech. You can also say on him that he's nishba in a certain sense, because there's such an environment out there that's very hard to withstand it. So yeah. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, Amar Rav Abba, Afa Piken Mes Bnei Batzama. Even with all of that, though, that was saying that the Eibishter saves the tzaddik's children, that they won't die, that they won't be harmed or die from something that their father themselves, that their parents themselves were oisik in. Nevertheless, Nechunya Choyfer Shichin's son died of thirst. Because the Eibishter is medaktik and tzaddikim, shenema usvivav nisara ma'od, as it says in the pasuk, around Hashem is very nisara. The simple meaning of nisara means stormy, but it means the word nisara is spelled with a samach, with a sin rather. So malamed, so we can also read it as being related to the word saira, a hair. Malamed shakodesh bocha medaktik and svivav kochot saira. From this we learn that Hashem is very exact with those who are around him, with the tzaddikim, even to a hair's breadth. What a tzaddik does has much, much greater effect than anybody else, and therefore, so anybody, the closer a tzaddik is to the Eibishter, the more strictly the Eibishter judges him, and therefore, so you can have whatever it is that Nechunya did that caused this, that made it possible for this to happen, is so the Eibishter judges him extra strictly. Now, so what happened to Rav Chanina ben Dosa? One answer could be that Rav Chanina ben Dosa by that time had passed away, or that the Eibishter prevented him from knowing what was going on in the first place so that he shouldn't daven for him. I once saw it quoted, for example, that the Friedrich Rebbe said about the Holocaust, he used the expression in the Pasuk, Hashem hel mimeni, Hashem hid it from me. In other words, since Tzadik goes about Kodesh Baruch Hu Makayim, then if he had known about it, he would have stormed Shemayim, that it shouldn't happen. So the Eibishter the Friedrich Rebbe, I remember once seeing a quotation that the Friedrich Rebbe said that to Hashem Helim Mimeni about it. Yeah. But anyway, so that's one possibility over here, is the Eibishter caused that. What? I don't remember if it was in a Maimur or Yechidus or a letter. I definitely remember seeing it, but I don't remember the marker. Anyway, so there's that. So it could be Rav Chanina ben Dosa, it could be the Eibishter prevented him from knowing, could be it was after he passed away. Now there are other points that Mephoshim make as well. One of Tosfos, first of all, makes a point. The fact is that the water that Nechunya Choyfer Shichin's son died from not having isn't coming from one of his father's bodas. In other words, that his daughter should fall into one of these bodas and drown, that Rav Chanan ibn Dosa is saying is not going to happen. But water itself is not something that a lack of water is not as directly connected with something that Nechunya was doing, and therefore we can still say that Hashem judges the tzaddik very strictly and makes it possible. Eitz Yosef makes a related point as well. After all, Nechunya was digging the pits. He didn't fill them with water. Once he digs them, and again, he being a geologist, as we learned in the Yerushalmi Shkolim, he knows where to dig, then the water flows into it on its own. So therefore, in a sense, the water is not his doing. The digging of the pit is his doing. Therefore, that his daughter should fall into such a pit and drown, that not, but that his son should die from a lack of water, that could very well be, because that's a more indirect kind of thing. That you can't say, Dabashin is asik bo yisitzad. So the Gemara continues. Rav Chanina, Amar Mehocha. Rav Chanina says there's another pasuk that expresses this same point as well. The pasuk says, "Kel naratz besoid kedoshim." Hashem, who is exalted in the secret. The word "soid" actually has two meanings. It means the secret, but also means the gathering. Kedoshim of the holy ones. Besoid kedoshim rabba in the gathering or the secret in the great gathering or the great secret of the holy ones. The Nora al kol svivav, and he is. Awesome, he's awed, he's feared by all those who are around him, which means those who are around the Eidishter, those who are closer to him, the tzaddikim, then Hashem judges them more strictly. Marshal refers over here to various things like that. We know that for a number of reasons of it, we know that Eibishter gives them their punishment for their few averus in this world. That way they have a complete reward in Olam Haba. There's also the point that Rashi brings on Parashas Shmini, that when the Eibishter judges Tzaddikim strictly, then that causes everybody to fear Hashem, because they realize if even the Tzaddikim that way, how much more so the Rishoyim. So you have all kinds of ideas like that. There's, of course, the famous mashal about, for example, that tzaddik is like a clean white garment where even the tiniest stain on it makes a difference, and therefore the Eibishter wants to clean that up before they get into Olam Haba. And there's many other ideas in it as well. The tzaddik's yisurim amachaper for the generation, and so on and so forth, on and on about this. Bechlal, there's also the idea that's brought, you know, there's the famous medrash that says the Eibishter originally planned to create the world with midas adin exclusively, which is why it says alekim in the beginning of Bereshis, and then afterwards he decided that we have to join midas harachmim together with it, otherwise the world won't endure, which is why afterwards it starts saying Hashem alekim. So the vote is that tzaddikim, the great, the high-level tzaddikim, they're able to stay, according to the original plan of the Eibishter, they're judged strictly with midas adin, because they're able to withstand it. Yeah. There's actually even something in the Siddurim Dach that talks about, Alter Rebbe talks about the idea, like we've mentioned it before in this shiur, I think, that like this, we have the Gemara says, this world was created with a hey, Olam Haba was created with a yud. So the Alter Rebbe develops an idea in one of the Maimorim in the Siddurim Dach that the hey has more to do with chesed, and the yud has more to do with gvura, and the idea being that Olam Abba, the Olam Emes, can be a world of gvura, because everybody gets there exactly what they're supposed to, without any favoritism or whatever, and that's the level that everybody's going to be able to be on Limos HaMashiach, and that's, right now, most of us are not capable of that, otherwise we would never be able to withstand the Eibishter's judgment, but the tzaddikim are able to withstand that even now. The Gemara goes on. The Mishnah says, continuing on this topic of we have ways to identify whether somebody has died and allow his wife to remarry. So the Mishnah says, "Ma'aseh b'tzalmon." It happened in a place called Tzalmon. Be'echad she'omer, a person called out, "Ani ish ploini ben ish ploini." I, and he identified himself by name, Ploini ben Ploini, Neshochani nochosh, a snake has bitten me. Bahareani mes, and I'm about to die. Now he wanted to make sure that people should be able to know that he's dead, so his wife will be able to be married. They went, they followed the voice, but they couldn't recognize the body, because as a result of the snake bite, he had swelled up, he didn't look the same as he did before, but nevertheless, on the basis of the voice, they went and allowed his wife to remarry. Because this is another example of the Gemara makes the point that the Chachamim will try to use every kula possible and every heter possible to allow that the wife shouldn't have to stay in Aguna. So the Gemara asks, the Dilma Shedhu, why don't we have to be concerned that this voice was actually a shed and it wasn't the person at all? And the answer is, because they saw from a distance that he does have the appearance of a person. To begin with, when he started yelling out, they could see from far that he looks like a person. The question is, what does that help? Inunami damu, don't shade him look like people as well? As we learned in Chagiga, shade him are halfway between people and malachim. The answer was Dechozolei Babua, because they saw that he cast a shadow. They saw there was a light, but there was a light behind him, whether sunlight, whether whatever kind of light, and they could see that he cast a shadow. Well, the Gemara asks, Inu Nami Islahu Bavoya. The problem is that Shadim also cast a shadow. And the answer is Dechozolei Bavua de Bavua. They saw a shadow of the shadow. What that means is like this.
It's the first.
They saw a figure from a distance, but now they also saw that he cast a shadow and a shadow of a shadow, which means, in other words, sometimes you have a person or an object is in sunlight, for example, you have a darker shadow, and then you have further out from it, you have a lighter shadow from other light sources that are nearby or whatever. So typically you'll have, there'll be a shadow and then there'll be a lighter, there'll be a darker shadow and then there'll be a lighter shadow. Well, the question is, maybe Shadim have that also. So what kind of a proof is that? The answer is, Omer Rav Chanina, Omer Li Yonason Shida. The answer is, Rav Chanina said, Yonason Shida explained to me. Now, what is Shida? Literally means the shed. So Rashi explains either this Yonason is an actual shed, or it means it was a yid who was expert in the habits and the practices and the properties and all of Shadim. There was an interesting thing. There's a different Gemara in Eruvin that mentions someone named Yosef Shida. You have the same kind of thing. Does it mean an actual shed, or does it mean there's an interesting explanation from the Meiri over there? Bechlal, the Meiri, and before him the Rambam don't really hold much of the idea of Shadim. The Rambam, when he brings this halacha, he leaves out the whole concern that it might be a shed. Other halachas, other things in Shas where we find Shadim, the Rambam never mentions them. There's a famous word from the Kotzker. I think I mentioned it in this shiur before that by doing that, the Rambam said in that case Shadim have no validity up halacha, so that causes them to disappear. Because if nothing, if a poor thing doesn't have a metzius in halacha, then it doesn't have a metzius at all. Anyway, today we don't have them. What?
Rabbi ever speak about the shadim or not?
I don't know.
You just think to pour out the few drops before you.
Yeah, so there is the thing about pouring out the few drops. Why we still do that? It's officially the Gemara in Cholin says because of shadim. Why we do that and we don't do most of the other things about shadim vesichnish. Anyway, the point is that the Rambam leaves out in general halachas about shadim. I think he mentions them in one place in Mor Nevuchim and talks about them briefly. And the Meiri also, when he explains these Gemaras in general. So one thing is the Meiri explains and connects with Yosef Shida in the Gemara in Eruvin, he explains it was actually a Yid who was Mechalel Shabbos, and therefore they nicknamed him the Shed, as in he's acting like a Shed, he's not keeping mitzvahs. So conceive, I don't know whether he explains the same thing over here, but it is a possibility. Anyway, so Yonason and Shida explained to me, says Reb Chanina, Bavur Islahu, Bavur de Bavur Leslahu. Shadim, unlike people, they have a strong shadow, but they don't have that second weaker shadow. That is something that only people cast, but Shadim do not. So you can tell the difference. Now, with that said, the poskim say, it's brought in the Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, that nowadays we don't really have the expertise to tell that, so that's not necessarily a valid thing that we can do. Al-Pi Chassidus, there was an idea that's brought in many places in Chassidus on this expression, the idea being the shadow, we talked about not so long ago, about the idea of the various kinds of makifim, makif akorev, makif arochek, and those map to makif akorev, the closer makif to you is your chaya. The makif arochek is your yechida. So there's the idea that shadim, which represent koichas atuma, they have the makif hakorev. They have something that's the analog of the chaya by a yid, but they don't have the yechida because the yechida you find only in the realm of kedusha and not in the realm of klippos that are represented by shadim. So that's what that would be. What the Gemara means over here, they only have a bavua. They have one shadow, which is the makif hakorev, but they don't have the weaker shadow, which is the makif harochay, because that you find that yechida you don't find by them. The Orochoner, by the way, punctuates the sentence over here a little bit differently. He says, so who is this Yonason Shida? So he says, no, what the Gemara is saying is that Rav Chanina said Yonason, a Yid, I think he learns that he was Rav Chanina's son, tells me, Shida Bavoya Uslahu. The word Shida, in other words, is not part of the title, but rather he's saying, as far as Shadim, Bavoya Uslahu, they have a shadow, Bavoya de Bavoya Leslahu, but they don't have a shadow of a shadow. In any case, the point is that's a method that you can use to distinguish. Again, you saw this guy from afar.
Guys exist
or not? So, no, so the point is, in other words, that's the Gemara saying that you once you can establish that it's not a shed, by you saw a human form in the distance, and you saw that he had bavur de bavur, you saw that he had a shade of a shade, which shows therefore that he's not a shed, because a shed doesn't cast a bavur de bavur, then you can rely on the fact that it was him. The Gemara actually goes on to deal with, it's not here in Ein Yaakov, but the Gemara goes on to deal with various other possibilities. Maybe it was someone impersonating him. Whatever, the Gemara deals with all those things and says that yes, it's a, in a case like this where it's an emergency, and if you don't if you don't do something, then his wife is going to be an aguna, then you're allowed to discount those possibilities as long as you recognize his voice. Okay. So the Gemara, the Masechta finishes off a famous thing. We say it every day in davening. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Chanina, Tamidei Chachamim Mabim Shalom Ba'olam, Tamidei Chachamim increase peace in the world. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, B'chol Banayich L'mudei Hashem, all of your sons will be learned of Hashem, will be taught by Hashem, V'rav Shloim Banoyich, and great will be the peace of your children. Actually, you know what? Before we get to that, I forgot. Actually, Tosafos mentions over here a little more detail about this matter of the guy in the pit and the calling out and so forth. Tosafos brings, first of all, from the Yerushalmi that in the city you don't even need bavua, you don't even need a shadow, because in the city you don't usually find shadim. Shadim tend to hang out in abandoned places like out in the fields or whatever. Anyway, if you find, now that said though, you do at least have to see an image of a figure of a person, because after all, shadim do hang out in pits, in abandoned water pits like that. Okay, so water pits. Well, we'll tell them this is Bapashos, an empty one, but yeah, like Vaborek from the. Well, usually a burr has water in it, but you know, you have like in this week's parasha, Vaborek ain't by mayim, right? So a pit can be an empty one still, yeah. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Chanina, Tamidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, Tamidei Chachamim increase peace in the world. Shenemar, V'chol Banayich L'mudei Hashem, all of your sons will be learned of Hashem, they'll all be taught Torah by Hashem. V'rav Shloim Banayich, and great is the peace of your children. So as we say in davening, and as you have some kisveyad of the Gemara have over here as well, and you have it in other places where the Gemara quotes this, Al tiku bonoyich ela bonoyich, that the second bonoyich doesn't mean just your children, means bonoyich, your builders, which the Gemara explains in a couple of places, that builders refer to Tamar HaChamim because they build up the world. So therefore we're saying, V'rav shalom bonoyich, great will be the peace as a result of bonoyich, those who build up the world through learning Torah. Now, what is this doing at the end of the Masechta over here? This is not the only Masechta that has this ending. There are actually five Masechtas in Shas that end with this. The Brachos, Yevamos, Nozir, we'll have in a couple of months, Bez Hashem, Chrisus, and Masechta Tomid as well. Now, Masechta Tomid, fine, actually, there are those who say that maybe Masechta Tomid, the Gemara that we have on it, mind you, Tomid only has Gemara on half of it, but anyway, Yeshomim, that it was actually composed after the Chesimus HaGemara, and it was composed by the Rabbanon Sevaroi. So maybe we can discount that. But we have four Masechtas that end with the same teaching about Tamid HaChamim, Ma'abim Shalom Ba'olam. So Marsha deals with, and we'll talk about soon, the Orach HaNer and the Rebbe also deal with each in their own way, about what the significance of that is. So first, Marsha, he says like this. Now, first of all, so again, there's four Masechtas that end this way. And you're not going to, and in fact, in Brachas, it also adds more psukim, shalom, as we say in davening, shalom rov la'ov v'secha, v'enom v'mechsho, shalom v'chel, shabam v'nesoyach, and a couple of other psukim. So why over here? So why davka these four masechtas? You're not going to say it's because we want to end the masechta with agadah. Brachas ends with tons of agadah. So it can't just be that. So he explains like this. In each of these four Masechtas, there's a reason why to mention it. Specifically, we want to stress the point that Tamar HaChamim bring peace to the world. So in each of the individual places, Marsha explains it. But here, in Yevamos, he explains like this. Here we have that the whole Masechta, we've been talking about, the whole Masechta, we've been talking about things where the Chachamim make takonis, where sometimes we use them to override things in the Torah. And in particular, in this Perek, and the last one, we've been dealing with that Minat Torah, on the face of it, you should need much stronger evidence to say that a woman's husband is dead to allow her to remarry. And here we have all these kulis that we've been talking about, where we hear a voice and we don't even recognize the person. We have a person drowns in Mayim Shein Lam, in Mayim Yeshlam Soif, and we don't find a body, all kinds of, you can accept aiders from one aid or from a woman, things that are usually not going to be acceptable. And in fact, right before this, the Gemara points out that Minat Torah, whenever Edim come to Beis Din, you always need Drisha V'Hakira. You always need to interrogate them thoroughly. Midrabanan, in certain cases, we don't need to, such as these cases. So the question is, how do the Chachamim have the ability to do that? Earlier in our Masechta, we talked about the what powers exactly does the Chachamim have to override something in the Torah? So the answer is, that's what the Gemara is saying, that's the point that we want to say. Tamar HaChachamim, Marim Shalom Ba'olam. It also explains, for example, why it is that we have cases where the Chachamim will say that we shouldn't do chalitza, that we would patur a woman from chalitza for certain reasons that are discussed earlier in the Masechta. So all of this is all part of Tamar Chachamim Marim Shalom Ba'olam. These things have to do with Shalom, because Shalom is associated. In fact, elsewhere the Gemara says that Shalom al Yisrael means that you'll Ur'ei Vonim Levanecha, Shalom al Yisrael. When you have descendants, then there'll be Shalom on the Jewish people. There won't need to be Chalitza or Yibum, because by definition, Chalitza or Yibum doesn't happen when the couple had children. So therefore, so we're saying over here that the whole point of everything that we've been talking about in this Masechta is this point of Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. And then he goes on to explain the following psukim. Now, the following psukim that we say in davening are brought at the end of brachas and in other masechtas. They're not brought over here. Nevertheless, Marshal goes on to darshan them over here in the context of our masechta. Namely, he continues, we have the... So we continue shalom rav la'ayav esther secha ba'in la'mimichshol, meaning those who love your Torah, the Chachamim, they're not uprooting something of the Torah. They're establishing, they're making firmer the Torah, because those who love your Torah, the Chachamim, they bring great peace. Ve'in la'mimichshol, and they're doing it in a way to prevent that anybody should stumble. That there would be a lack of shalom bias, or that you would be an aguna or whatever. And then we continue, Yehi Shalom Bechelech Shavu Ba'amin Yisoyich. There should be peace. Bechelech literally means in your armies. Meaning, in other words, as there was a point at the beginning of this parak, where if the husband disappears in wartime, then it's not so simple to say that he's dead, like we talked about the other day, because there can be all kinds of confusion. But there should be shalom among your armies, so that there's shalom, and then there's no uncertainties like that of the kind that would be during war. Shavu ba'amin yisoyich, when she says that he was in his palace, he was in his house and died peacefully on his bed, where there we can accept that. So that's part of the shalom that there will be, that the pasuk is saying that there will be. And then l'man acha v'rei adam min ha'shalom bach, meaning l'man achai, that you can have a case where a woman says, my husband died, and she's going to do yibum. So that's l'man achai, or the other way around, my yavam, my husband's brother has died, and I should be allowed to remarry. So adabra na shalom bach, adabra loshen yochid, I will speak, because in those cases we're saying even one aid is acceptable. And then we finish off l'man beis Hashem alekeinu avak shatov lach, because what's going to bring that, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, what's going to bring that there's going to be a beis Hashem alekeinu, that there's going to be a beis Hamikdash, is, as we learned before, Mashiach is going to come when all the neshamas in guf have been used up and brought down to this world. So the Chachamim want to make sure a woman shouldn't stay in aguna. Let her be able to remarry. Let her be able to have more children. Bring down more neshamas from guf, and therefore bring beis Hashem alekeinu closer. And then we finish off, Hashem oiz la'am yitin, Hashem yivorech as'am yivasholem. What gives the power? Hashem gives oiz, Hashem gives power to his people, to the Talmidei Chachamim, who represent his people, to be makel in these things, because Hashem yivorech as'am yivasholem, and Hashem wants to bless the Jewish people with peace, rather than that women should be left agunos. So therefore, so that's the connection of all these psukim to the end of the Masechta, says Maharsha.
Beautiful thing, right?
It's a beautiful thing. But now there's a little more complication to that, because the Aruch HaNer now points out, this is a very, very nice drosha of Marsha's, but, and he gives similar drushas at the end of the other Masechtas, but that doesn't explain why we have Davka four Masechtas that end in the same way. And not only that, we have the acronym when we have the expression, the word Bonayich itself is the acronym for these four Masechtas that end in this way: Brachas, Nozir, Yevamos, Krisis. So you're going to say fine, Marsha is going to give a nice drosha at the end of each one of them. But why does that explain why Davka these four Masechtas more than any other? So the Aruch HaNer then goes on.
Larry, it's 515.
515, I know that name. So the Aruch HaNer goes on and explains that here's a different way of looking at it. There's four types of shalom, he explains. You have shalom between Hashem and humanity. You have shalom between one person and the next. You have between a husband and wife. And you have shalom between the guf and the neshama. And so he goes on and explains then that each of these four masechtas represents one of these types of shalom. In particular, then, when it comes to Yevamos, that represents That represents the shalom that you have between that you have ben Adam l'chaveira. And he goes on to explain that like this. We learned a few days ago that we learned Bar Kapara had said it's better to do chalitza than yibum. It's better to get involved in chalitza than in yibum. And we said the reason is because people don't always do chalitza, because people don't always do yibum l'shem shemayim. And according to Abba Shol, that's no good. But Talmid Chachamim, Marim Shalom Ba'olam. If everybody were Talmid Chachamim, then they would be doing Yibum L'Shem Shemayim. Then we would have more Yibum. So in that sense, so Talmid Chachamim, Marim Shalom Ba'olam, and therefore it brings it at the end of a heel. So he explains that the whole concept of Yivamus has to do with Shalom Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. And people don't do Yibum because we're concerned that they're not doing it L'Shem Shemayim, and then it's considered like Pegeya Be'erva. It's considered, after all, this woman would usually be an Erva to him. She's his brother's wife, and the Torah is Matir, only for the purpose of Yibum. So Abba Shol holds, and in the end, that Amar holds this way, and this is how we Ashkenazim Paskin, is that you don't do Yibum because of that. But nevertheless, that's only because most people are not doing L'Shem Shemayim. If you had Tamid Chachamim, if you had more Tamid Chachamim, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, they would be bringing more Shalom into the world, meaning then there could be more Yibum. So that's why, that's the connection with the end of the Masechta over here. So that's why in Yevamos, that's why the Or HaNer says, this is why they have this statement.
They're two Yevamos. They are buried near him.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay, so there's an example. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh was doing Yibum L'Shem Shemayim. He's a Sfaradi also. That's different. Sfaradim hold like the Mechaber that you're allowed to for any reason. But in any case, yeah. In any case, so the Or HaChaner again says that the vort is that since Yevamos is one of the four types of Shalom, Ben Odom L'Chaveroi, therefore the statement belongs at the end of it over here. Now, the Rebbe goes on a famous Hadron. There's a Hadron the Rebbe gave on Yud Shvat Tavshin Mem and in the following Shabbosim after that. And eventually it was Muga, and it's published at the end of Sefer HaSichos Tavshin Nun Aleph. Anyway, so the Rebbe goes in and says, first of all, the fact is, here, the Or HaChaner is saying there's four different kinds of Shalom, but again, the fact is that all four Masechtos end with the same exact teaching, so it must be more than four different kinds of Shalom, and also a few other questions, among other things, why the order of the Masechtos. Bon Nayich is Brachas Nozir Yevamos Krisus, but here we have Yevamos first and then Nozir, so it's not the same order as in the word Bon Nayich. So he goes, and the Rebbe also is bothered by, in each case, you also have to find a connection between it and the immediately preceding thing in the Masechta, and according to the Or HaChaner, he doesn't find it. So the Rebbe has a very, very long explanation, which the Rebbe connects it with, you have the four groups of Jews by the Yamsuf. What are we going to do with the Mitzrayim behind us and the Yamsuf ahead of us? We know you have the four different groups. We should jump into the sea. We should return to Mitzrayim. We should cry out in tefillah against them. We should go and fight. So the Rebbe explains each of those is a different mahalach in their arguing what to do in Avodah. And therefore, each one of them, Moshe tells them, this isn't the time to do it. Instead, Dabar al b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. So therefore, so each of them connects in the end with one of these four Masechtos and with the end of it. In particular, then, for our purpose over here, as far as Yevamos is concerned, so Yevamos has to do then with the kind of shalom that you have. And the shalom that you have mitzad gidrei hamakabel, the Rebbe explains that the makabel, what his capabilities are. So therefore, among the groups by Mitzrayim, among the groups by the Yamsuf, they were the ones who were thinking we should go back to Mitzrayim and we should work on being mevarit from the inside over there, because that's what we as the makabelim are capable of. And here we're saying, when it comes to Yevamos, that again, like Marsha said, as the quoting from the Gemara, that Shalom Av Yisrael, you don't come to Chalitza and Yibum. So now Chalitza, after all, there's a certain potter in it. After all, you have, she's spitting in front of him. She's saying he refuses to uphold his brother's name and so forth. Nevertheless, there is a Shalom in Chalitza as well. It brings peace for the Nifter's Neshama and so on and so forth. So you have ultimately the Shalom that's brought about through Yibum or Chalitza, as the case may be, is the Shalom that you have mitzad Gidrei HaMakabel, that you take the Olam Hazeh Tachton and transform it into Kedusha, and then the immediately preceding part of the Gemara that says that Minat Torah, whenever it comes to any Eidos, you always need Drisha V'Chakira, but the Chachamim relax that in some cases. So that's an example of taking the Makabel, taking the Dorim of the world into account and making the Halacha accordingly. So therefore, that has to do with the shalom that's described here at the end of Yevamos. It's a long, beautiful sicha that can't really do it justice in these few minutes. It's definitely well worth learning, whether it's been translated in full, whether it's been translated into English, I don't know. Anyway, Hadron Alach Masechta Yevamos. To you. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula. Yudalad Kislev, the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin's wedding anniversary. So let's talk about something having to do with a chuppah. People sometimes argue, Chassidus, sure, is a very nice thing. We know the famous marshal with the Alter Rebbe and Pinchas Koretzer, that it's like a diamond that has to be ground up and then given to the prince, etc. But a person can argue, I don't need diamonds. It's enough, my levushim, machshava dibra maisa, of Torah and mitzvah, so b'shleimus. I have jewelry even. I don't need diamonds. I don't need magolis. What do I need Chassidus for? So the Rebbe goes on to say that, no, first of all, there is a din in Shulchan Aruch that we have to learn Pnimiyas HaTorah, because in Shulchan Aruch it talks about you have to learn Kol HaTorah Kola, and Pnimiyas HaTorah is part of Torah. And on top of that, also, we're living in the dark times of Ikvus HaDimashicha, so we have to learn Chassidus in order to have our Levushim be complete. Anyway, though, even if you're going to say, I don't need diamonds and pearls and whatnot, that was fine in earlier generations. Now, when Mashiach is hine ze omen acha kaslenu, when Mashiach is behind the wall and about ready to come, and we have to be ready to go to the chuppah with the Eibishter, with Malch, Malcha, Amlocha, Makarish Bochu, what do you mean you don't want any diamonds? You don't want the most beautiful jewelry to be able to go to the chuppah with the Eibishter? So therefore, you have to have it.
It's beautiful.
Okay, continuing with Halachas of Muktzah. So, yeah, that was the point, yeah. Okay, so we were talking previously about that under what circumstances you're allowed to move something muktzah, for example, kalach yad. Now, what happens, for example, let's say you have a pillow that you left some money on, then you can pick up the pillow and shake off the money. According to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you could take it anywhere and shake off the money over there, according to the Alter Rebbe, only if you can't really do it over there. In any case, what happens the other way around? If you want to pick up something that has something else muktz on it, that you can't do if you're not using it for the sake. In that case, for example, you need the pillow. You need the space where the pillow was, but otherwise not. So an example of it would be, it's mentioned in Mishnah, is, for example, you have a baby holding something that's muktzah, then you're not allowed to pick him up. But if the child has gaguim to the extent where he wants you so badly that if you don't pick him up, he's going to get sick, and you can't, let's say, get him to drop the muktzah thing, because he's going to cry, then you're allowed to pick him up in Rosh HaYachin. In Rosh HaRabim, obviously, it's a whole different matter. If the child, on the other hand, is holding a coin, then you have a problem, even in Rosh HaYachin, because the child may drop the coin, and you, the parent, are going to forget that it's Shabbos and pick up the coin. And after all, there's no sakonis nefashis not picking up the coin. So it's one thing. The kid is carrying something else, then that's muktzah, then fine. But a coin, we're saying that not. Whether that would apply nowadays, I don't know if the kid's holding a penny or a nickel, we barely bend down to pick that up, even if you yourself dropped it, vesach nisht.
Depends if he's an American boy.
What?
Depends if he's an American boy.
Depends if he's an American boy, I don't know, maybe. Yeah.
Hey,